Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, on June 13th, 2014. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help their businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313. That's 310-545-5313. You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show or visit us on our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great, and what a great topic. I'm so thrilled that the leadership of the Chamber has decided to start covering this topic, because I think this is one that we're going to be revisiting regularly throughout this series. There's nothing more local than the topic at hand, is there, Jackie?
No, there's not. No. And it's funny because in 3 years, we have never done a show on this.
Right. We haven't. And we've tried to get shows like this started, but here we go. Who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are James Sanders, David Curry, and Kyle King. And today, we're in real estate. James Sanders is an agent with RE/MAX Realtors here in the South Bay. He earned his Bachelor of Science degree from the University of California in real estate finance. James began his career in real estate in 1989 with RE/MAX Palos Verdes Realty, selling properties on the PV Peninsula and the Greater South Bay area. He has been a consistent top producer over the last 20 years and has earned the RE/MAX Hall of Fame Award. James believes that his role as an agent is to negotiate the very best set of terms possible for his clients, and while the clients make the final decisions, an experienced real estate consultant's advice will help lead to a successful transaction. Now, active in the world of real estate for almost 20 years, David Curry enjoys helping his clients and friends get into their dream homes, investment properties, and first homes. David is active in the community, having served on the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors for most of the last decade, culminating in the chairmanship in 2010. He is co-founder of Alls Across America, a nonprofit group that raises awareness and creates community support for sufferers of early-onset Alzheimer's disease and their caregivers. He is proud to have received the 2005 Distinguished Service Award from the County of Los Angeles Fire Department Ocean Lifeguard Division. David's mortgage training comes from the independently operated Zinnix Mortgage Academy in Atlanta, Georgia, which focuses on the mortgage process with the client's best financial interest in mind. David was the top producing loan officer in 2011 and 2012 for Bank of Manhattan and is also sales manager for the El Segundo Mortgage Branch. He has a BA in English from Loyola Marymount University. Now, Kyle King grew up in a real estate family. He worked on construction sites with his father's brother at the age of 14. The insight gained from that bricks and sticks experience allowed him to offer clients a ground-up vision of their real estate goals. He and his family found their forever home in Manhattan Beach 10 years ago, and he's committed to helping his clients do exactly that. Kyle's professional experience includes an unparalleled series of assignments, real estate estate development in the United States, China, New Zealand, and Brazil. He did real estate contract negotiations with the FAA and EPA. He was head of a corporate real estate office department and a senior executive at Realogy Corp., the largest residential real estate company in the world. He currently serves as a Manhattan Beach City Commissioner. He's a board member of Leadership Manhattan Beach and is a newly elected board member for the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. Kyle feels strongly that learning and giving back are an integral part of the community's fabric. James, David, Kyle, welcome to the program. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Glad to be here.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Okay. I love this. We're talking, let's talk real estate. And David, I want to talk to you first. Let's start with the perspective that, you know, many people that are looking to buy real estate, people that are selling, there's lots of financial questions. There's lots of questions of, can I afford the home? How does a small neighborhood bank, Bank of Manhattan has what, 5 locations? Is that right?
5 locations. Yeah. 3 in the Pasadena area, 2 here by the beach.
I see. How does a small local bank view real estate as a part of their overall business plan?
Well, our platform is diverse. So while we are a community bank, we do have sort of the 3 main lending platforms. So most of our loans, we process, underwrite, draw the loan docs, fund them all here out of our El Segundo branch, most of those loans we securitize and sell off. So we will service most of them, but it's not actually our community bank money, which, you know, we funded $1 billion in loans each of the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And our total capitalization is about $500 million. So we'd run out of money in about 6 months if we used only our own money. So we do keep some of the loans on our books. You know, we are a very high-touch, customer-oriented community bank. So where there are loans that fit for our clients, our loyal customers and clients, we will keep those ones on the books if those are loans that don't fit into a larger box. So it is nice to have that flexibility.
Mm.
And then we can also broker loans out to other entities as well if those don't fit in the box. So it's nice for us to be a community bank, but to have those options. We aren't just limited to a small pool.
And it's interesting as you talk about this that, you know, and you did explain it very well. It's kind of easy to understand when you talk about it that when a bank makes a loan, they don't always service the loan. They might indeed sell the loan. I mean, obviously, for those people that studied the 2008-2009 real estate debacle, really, in subprime loans, the big problem was those loans were being packaged as larger entities. They were being, you know, packaged in a group, and then they didn't look so bad and they didn't smell so bad as a large group. And other countries like Iceland, I mean, there was a little town in Iceland that bought a bunch of those derivative products, and they didn't do so well. But you can sell these loans for servicing to other entities, and obviously you do that rather often, right?
We do, and there have been some positive, in all areas, there have been some very positive changes that came as a result of the unfortunate meltdown. Accountability, consumer protection, some of those have really come back, and right at first it was sort of a shock to the industry when the Dodd-Frank bill came through and was passed and became law, but the positive result is that there's a lot more accountability. So all the way down, not just to our bank. So, you know, we funded $1 billion in loans. Every loan is traceable back to the originator of that loan. Mm. And not even that, but in many, many cases, it's traceable back to the underwriter who underwrote the loan. So there's accountability, there's scorecards. And I think those things are positive. So when a loan is approved and funded for a family getting into a home, we know that they should be there. And I think that's a good thing. And it's good for our realtor partners. You know, Kyle and James might agree. We want that family to thrive, be happy in that home, and come back to the real estate agent who sold them the home if they ever want to sell or trade up and not be in something that's over their head. So even right. though the loans are still being packaged and sold, the accountability, I think, will, you know, the towns in Iceland won't have to fear our loans anymore, I think.
Right, right, exactly. And Kyle, I want to bring you in to the conversation, and I have to say, in reading your bio, you have this phrase in your bio that is so powerful when you say you want to help families find their forever home. I discussed that with my wife. That was powerful. Talk a little bit about the spirit that you bring to what it is, a business, but you bring a special spirit to it.
Yeah, thank you. For me, I think that particularly residential real estate, there's a strong emotional connection, at least in my business anyway, and that might be that somebody got the new job, they had a new child, they want to move up, or you know, heaven forbid, there's some sort of family problem, and they maybe they got laid off, they have to sell the property, or there's an estate sale due to a family passing or something like that. But I guess to me, the connection with why somebody wants to move in or out of a home is a really important piece of my daily business.
Right. And James, as well, you've been in this business for a long time. Tell us a little bit about your relationship to the business of real estate.
Well, I agree with Kyle. It's helping families achieve their goals and dreams. Mm-hmm. You know, the American dream is to own a home. And we help families achieve their American dream. We have a new phrase that RE/MAX has been promoting recently, dream with your eyes open. And that really hits home because it's the American dream to get into a home, but we as professional real estate agents navigate the consumer into getting a house without, you know, with their eyes open. So we're completely transparent in the process. And I agree with David that, the process of getting a loan became too easy. Mm-hmm. I think it was over-regulated for a while, and we're starting to see a balance where consumers can go out and get a loan if they're qualified and get into a home, and interest rates are at an all-time low right now. And we live in one of the most magical places in the world to live, in the South Bay of Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun to help a family get into a home that you know they're going to raise their kids and be there for many, many years and create a community out of their lifestyle. So it's fun to help people.
It is magical, and of course we talk about the South Bay a lot here on the South Bay Show. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking real estate. This is Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, sponsored by the Manhattan Beach Chamber, and we're talking about real estate with three professionals in the South Bay, James Sanders, David Curry, and Kyle King. And James, just to carry that forward, now when people want to get into the South Bay, of course, this is a premium real estate market. I mean, and I'm talking the beach cities, and we can talk about the whole South Bay, but really Manhattan, Hermosa, Redondo, these are premium real estate markets, aren't they? Just not just anyone can afford to move here.
You know, I had that conversation recently, and it's really hard for a brand new homeowner that grew up in the area that's used to the lifestyle living close to the beach to purchase a home. Mm-hmm. I mean, entry level in some cases in the beach communities is $700-900 plus, and you're talking 20% down. You got to save a lot of cash to get into that. So definitely the price range to get into a home in the South Bay is high, but relative to other parts of the country, our incomes are a little higher here. So all things being said, it's a struggle to get into a Southern California beach community. However, once you do, the equity can appreciate and you're you are going to be in the game of real estate in Southern California, and you'll be a homeowner for the rest of your life.
Right. One of the things that I'd like, you know, your reaction to as a group, and we'll start with you, James, is the recent news, and it was a surprise, but it's something that Torrance believes that they will be fine with. They will be able to adjust the news that Toyota Motors USA is moving to Texas, along with over 3,000 jobs, and a lot of those must be homeowners in the South Bay. Have you run into anyone that is involved in that situation and are either in transition to Texas or in turmoil from that?
Yes, Joe, and it's a sad state of affairs when large companies like Toyota and I hear Amgen is kind of on the move out of California. We're losing large
from Thousand
companies.
Oaks. Thousand Oaks.
We're losing large companies because they're better tax incentives and apparently Texas had a huge incentive for Toyota to move to Plano, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been actively engaged in helping some transferees navigate their relocation packages. We have a relocation department that is actively involved in helping these people transition.
Mm-hmm.
So the good news for the people transitioning is you can buy a mansion in Plano, Texas for, you know, $500,000. So they're going to be doing okay. You're
mm-hmm.
going to not have the beach and not mm-hmm. have our beautiful community here, but for some, it's sad when we're losing, and I don't think it's going to be a dramatic impact on the market immediately because it's going to be a slow transition over the next, 3 or 4 years is from
mm-hmm.
what I hear.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So hopefully it's not going to impact prices. That's a concern. And it's going to uproot a lot of lives of a lot of Southern California, South Bay residents. So
right.
It's sad that California is losing companies like Toyota.
Kyle, have you run into some clients that are talking about, the transition maybe 1-2 years from now that they're going to be going to Texas?
Yeah, actually we have, and I would agree with James about the relocation services. Actually, with Shorewood, there's a very large partnership with a relocation group called Cartus, which is the largest relocation company in the country. A lot of those type corporate moves, as we say, run through programs like that.
Mm-hmm.
I also agree that the slow transition over the next 2 years shouldn't affect prices, maybe inventory a bit, but I think that the slow trickle will have a minimal effect. And actually, I'm originally from Texas, and I would agree that the competition, I suppose, that we hear about, even if it's with Tesla's new battery plant or what have you, is it's probably a healthy competition, but there's an awful lot of math that goes into leaving lifestyle and what you might enjoy in the South Bay versus potentially a larger piece of property and what have you. But there are different costs associated with owning a property in Texas than there is in California.
Right.
You know, Joe, I have two friends that are top executives over there, and
mm-hmm.
They're staying. They're,
mm-hmm.
they're not going. Yeah.
Right. So it's a matter for them. It's a matter of not transitioning their lifestyle, but transitioning their work.
Exactly.
To a different company, and that can be traumatic as well.
They're both actually looking forward to it. They're pretty excited about it.
Yeah. Okay. David, when you see something like this happen, do you see a trend as a bank? Do you see a trend of companies moving from California to Texas or other places, or do you see it as a part of a larger trend that companies move in, companies move out?
Well, it does sort of seem. I don't know if I see a trend necessarily, but it's hard to not think of the departure of Nissan to Tennessee, and I think that was 5 years ago plus, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So this is only, you know, 5 years later, and it's natural to look at this industry and look at the city of Torrance and say, well, there's Honda left. You know, what's next?
Right.
Northrop Grumman, I believe, is the largest employer in the South Bay, and, you know, they moved a lot of their top executives to Washington, D.C., or announced the move within the last 36 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was 3,000 employees. I think it was more like 200 to 500, maybe more. But it does, and that more had to do with the center of their business. They get so much government business, of course. But, you know, there is a migration out. We, as a community bank, we do business with a lot of smaller businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have clients in that area, right off of West 190th, so right across from Toyota. And those corporate parks are thriving. I mean, there's a lot of new media, a lot of real estate companies, development companies, a lot of import-export companies,
mm-hmm.
You know, being closer to the port over there. So I think it's going to be backfilled with, you know, I'm not aware of what level of employees are being moved. You know, Jackie mentioned that a lot of the top some of the top executives are staying.
Mm-hmm.
So being such a desirable area and really with the more top-end economy, really thriving the last few years, I think a lot of it is going to be backfilled pretty well there.
It's a fascinating subject. We're talking real estate. You're listening to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360. And if you have a question or a comment, we would love to have you join us. You can just call in to 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question to add to the discussion. And just want to for the second half of the show, I want to ask you, David, what do you think? I want to talk about what a community bank does for local business. That's what a lot of businesses, I know I was a retail store manager in Manhattan Beach, All City Computers, for 5 years, and we did have a lot of issues that we had to get help from the bank on. What do you see your role is for the typical small business as a small community bank?
Well, similar to our mortgage division, our commercial banking division, I would call it banking with not just a heart, but with eyes and ears. So access to the very top levels is very convenient for our customers. So even small businesses have the need to send and receive wires, you know, in the $100,000, $500,000 range.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it needs to happen quickly. So the communication throughout the whole bank is nice. I've banked with some larger banks, and I used to do a little bit more development and buying and selling of investment properties. And I've banked with larger banks, and even though technically sometimes the wire should fit within their guidelines, you know, it's the close of escrow. You know, Kyle and James, I'm sure, have experienced this type of thing where timing is very, very important, and sometimes you have issues to deal with the seller of a property. Sometimes a lien gets cleared up, and it's go time, and you have to send a wire, and I'm just using a wire as an example. And sometimes the larger banks aren't as nimble for whatever reason. You know, they have great efficiencies, they have great economy of scale, but sometimes you need things done quickly. And if the person at the front of our bank, if it's outside their purview, they get a manager involved. And if it's something that needs an exception, it's not hard to find our executive vice president of banking or even the CEO. And that's a real niche that I think we excel at. And a lot of the businesses really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's, you know, if you're talking about these giant corporations, they might be better served when they're moving hundreds of millions of dollars around by a large bank, but you know, when we're talking about our sweet spot, you know, $5 to $30 million deposit customers, it's really hard to argue with our efficiency on that. So that's where I see our niche. We really know our backyard. The deposits that we get from our clients, we lend back into the community. You know, we're not interested in lending money out in Palm Springs. The money we have here stays here. It goes back to local merchants, local manufacturers. So that, I think, is really the definition of community bank that we embody.
Right.
Isn't it local? Right?
Yeah, all local. All of our employees, you know, we merged with Professional Business Bank located out in Pasadena about 2 years ago, and that tripled our size and created some efficiency for us and did open up the market from here out to that area and the west side in between. But, yeah, we're you know, owned locally.
That's awesome. What's the history of Manhattan Bank? I mean, did they actually start in Manhattan Beach?
We did. El Segundo, really. We're on Rosecrans. We're on that border there.
Right.
And we were founded about 8 years ago. Our first chairman of the board was Kyle Ransford, and he put together a group of investors that put the bank together. We are publicly traded. And we took some top talent from some other local community banks. And with the goal, the nice thing was that we did have the hindsight of the credit crunch. So we were founded in 2007. So most of that had already been going on. So we got to look at the mistakes, look at how it was done before, and really start from the ground level. And then just from there, we took top community members in banking and lending. Kevin Campbell is our executive vice president, and he was born and raised here, and he was a great addition to the team to really bolster the banking and our client roster. And we've just expanded a nice, healthy expansion from there. Our mortgage division has been open for 3 years, 3.5 years, and we funded about $40 million the first year, and $1 billion the next year, $1 billion the following year. So if you noticed in my bio, I was the top producer in 2011 and 12, and then I just got blown out of the water last year. We added some great loan officers. that was kind of nice to see.
The topic of our conversation is real estate, and I want to get back to that. James, can you tell us how important it is to have a bank as a partner when you're working with clients and trying to get them loans that fit their family?
Well, having partnerships, you know, RE/MAX is a full-service company, and we have aligned ourselves with really good partners. You're as good as the people that you surround yourself with. Mm. And the reason that's important, because if there's a problem, which inevitably there is always going to be a problem in a transaction, if you have somebody that's accountable, that's there, that's part of your family, they don't want to let you down, and they don't want to let your agents down. And they will do typically anything and everything to make things right. You know, it's unfortunate that there are so many curveballs that can come up during a transaction, everything from the condition of the home. A big, big problem recently has been, you know, the loan process. It's, you know, Bank of Manhattan, I've worked with them before. They do a fantastic job. But what really kills the consumer is if the loan officer doesn't have his act together and continues to ask the consumer for more paperwork, more documentation, more pay stubs, more, you know, accountability of deposits made, and they do that for 30 days straight, it is very frustrating for the consumer. So to align yourself with a true top professional that knows their game, is it makes you shine. It makes you look like a hero at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Joe, we've talked about this before, and now we've got the guys we could ask the question to.
Okay.
Why is it that escrow always closes at like 4 o'clock on a Friday. and something's always missing, right? Because, I mean, we've bought several homes, and there's never been a time where at the last minute everybody's running around like a chicken with his head cut off. Why, you, why is that?
Kyle, you want to field that one? Or a lot of times real estate agents like to choose Friday as a closing, or they're going to put Thursday as a closing, and if it is delayed one day, it's not the end of the deal. The point being is the new consumer can move in that weekend. So it's really, it's crunch time. Think about all the moving parts that have to coordinate to get an escrow closed. You have title, you have mortgage, you have the escrow, you have a buyer and a seller, you have the agents on both sides, and you have government regulations, and you have city reports, and you have city inspections. You have just an enormous team trying to coordinate a very difficult and emotional task. Not only is it the most financially expensive purchase a consumer is going to make in their lifetime, it's also very emotional. Think about you're uprooting your family and your lives. Your kids are moving into a different neighborhood and often different school district, so you're stressed out about are they going to fit in, are they going to make new friends. I mean, there's so many things that come into play when selling a house. It's when things go smoothly, it is rare. It takes a true professional to smooth out the problems. So aligning yourself with a really good team is paramount in making that transaction go smooth.
Right.
Okay, so now we've got our answer Friday so that they can move in that weekend. Got it. Okay, just wanted to know that.
Joe, can I tag on to that?
Sure, yeah, Kyle.
You know, I agree with what James said. You know, personally, Thursdays are a better day because all of the things that that James talked about, the inspection or appraisal or title or banking, and yes, I do think that things inevitably come up. I mean, if you have yourself an opportunity to what I'll call the buffer zone of one day so they can move in on the weekend, I'm not a big fan of late Friday afternoon because if something goes wrong and they can't move in that weekend, there's really no fallback other than move it to Monday. So to me, Thursdays are right, but are a better day. But you know, James is talking about, and we've talked a lot about all this, or maybe a little bit around it. The partner process, the smooth transition, if you will, yes, between schools and the inspections and appraisal and title and banking. But from my chair's perspective, I mean, the agent or broker that the buyer or seller, for that matter, is working with is way more than what I would call a property specialist. I mean, this person is your partner in the process, and you need really to be involved with those families' lives. Why are they moving? How can you, as James said, the partners and the family inside your firm, whether all of those different services, what's your community knowledge, all the way down to what's happening at the mall, daycare centers, I mean, you name it. A real estate process is so much more than just finding a property and qualifying for a loan.
Right, right. It's it is so much more, and all of my friends who are agents and or brokers, you know, there's a price to be paid, and we'll talk a little bit about that. You know, your business is on the weekend, so you have a lot of stress in terms of as an agent or broker not getting to your own son's game or your daughter's recital on a Saturday or a Sunday because you're working. You've got an open. You've got stuff going on. And so let's talk about that after a break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Manhattan Beach Chamber 360. And today, let's talk real estate. We're talking with James Sanders, David Curry from the Bank of Manhattan, and Kyle King. We're talking about real estate, and we'll be right back after we thank a sponsor. Jackie, who are we thanking today?
Well, Joe, you know it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, certified public accountants and consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palisades Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, visit the website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011.
All right. So, Kyle, let's start with you on this question. It is a tough life being a real estate agent, real estate broker. Isn't it a lot of work?
It is a lot of work, and you alluded to before the sponsor that there's a lot of weekend work, and there is, and I may or may not. I'm not sure of the family situation with James and David, but I have six kids.
Yeah.
And so the ability to make as many of those events as possible while trying to really, in a service business, you have to react to when the client's available. And yes, that causes some family time that you might miss. But we're lucky here in the South Bay that our density, assuming that traffic is easy that day on Sepulveda, allows us to not be more than hopefully 20 or 30 minutes away from your next stop.
That's true. That's true in general. James, do you find that's one of the things you have to deal with when you're a real estate agent broker? Those weekends.
I look at it from a different perspective in the fact that getting into real estate is a lifestyle. You say it's weekends. It's not weekends. It's 24/7. Our family started the RE/MAX franchise 30 years ago. This year we're celebrating 30 years in business. We have 17 offices, 650 agents, and there is always an emergency. And it is it's the true professional that's able to react and respond, not react to an emergency in a timely manner. And that means being on the phone at 10, 11 o'clock at night or up early. Basically, I turn my phone off, my cell phone off when I go to bed, and I turn it on when I wake up, and I'm pretty much on. So, you know, my wife loves it when we go out to dinner and I leave my cell phone in the car. That's really a special treat. So it is, we call it in our company, it's a lifestyle marketing. You are one of our really good agents came to me a couple years ago and said, I found a revelation. Before, I used to have my clients, and then I had my personal life that I didn't interact my clients with my personal life. And my whole career and my whole income, everything about my happiness and my life changed when I merged the two together. So now she has parties and social events with all of her clients, and she has really integrated real estate into every aspect of her life, and it's worked really, really well for this particular agent, and it's more fulfilling when you're helping people all the time.
Because before, she felt a constant resistance to the mixture, and now the resistance is gone, and she can feel more comfortable.
That's right. It's like living a double life. It's hard to do.
Right.
You can't check out of real estate. You got to be engaged 24/7.
Right. Right.
Hey, Joe. I had a question I wanted to ask the guys.
Sure.
Earlier, you brought up the challenge it is for a new homeowner especially, to get into specifically the beach cities.
Right.
Because, you know, prices are high. This is a nice area. But there are other areas in the South Bay that they can get into, and I'd like to hear a little bit about that, because El Segundo is a beach city, Torrance is a beach city, Palos Verdes is surrounded by water. Can you guys talk about that a little bit? It's not all about getting to Manhattan Beach right away, right?
Well, I'll start first. We have offices from San Pedro up to Beverly Hills, and a couple of the really good communities that are kind of hidden gems are San Pedro. You can get a really nice, affordable home in San Pedro with an ocean harbor view, much cheaper, half the price of something in Hermosa, Manhattan, you know, Redondo on the water. The other really nice community is Culver City. And I don't know if you guys have spent much time in Culver City, but Culver City has really done a whole redevelopment and has cleaned up their act, and there's restaurants and shops and people at night walking around. And you can buy a really nice, affordable, single-family home. It's a few miles from the beach, but you're talking probably $600,000 or $700,000 for a really nice home. Something similar to that in Manhattan or Hermosa is going to be $1.2 million to $1.3 million.
So half price.
Basically half price.
Wow.
There are other communities. Torrance has lots of fantastic communities. Again, location, location, location. The closer you get to the water, the more valuable the properties are going to be.
Right. And also, I'd like to bring in James O'Callaghan. I think he's on the line. James, are you with us? Good morning. James O'Callaghan, president of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. James, can you tell us how important it is, as I know, you know, real estate agents talk about the schools all the time, you know, how important is it to the chamber that Manhattan, Hermosa, Redondo, the real estate market is strong here in the South Bay?
Well, I mean, having a strong real estate market here just continues to bring some of the best business leaders into the community. I mean, if you look at some of the folks here who started their own business in town, they came here first to live here and then, you know, decided that they didn't want to leave the area to go to work every day, so they left their jobs and started a business here. Mm. So some of the greatest business people we have come to this area purely because of the housing market and then chose to stay here for other reasons.
Right. And that's the beauty of it. Now, Kyle, James talked about some of the more affordable areas. Do you have any others, or do you concur generally with him on where the affordable, more affordable areas are?
You know, I mean, affordable is obviously all relative, but we are talking about Southern California, and I think sometimes we can affordable to us maybe. Maybe the most expensive home in the Midwest, right?
Right.
That's entirely possible. But, no, I definitely think that Culver City has done a tremendous job. And I can tell you that in Manhattan Beach's case, that the city themselves is grappling right now with what to do about a downtown redevelopment and strategic plan. They're using places like Culver City and further north Carmel and things like that to keep the local town flavor. And I think that outside of real estate prices, again, the lifestyle, the community feel, is what drives a lot of purchasing decisions.
Right.
And you mentioned school districts earlier.
Right.
I think that school districts, matter of fact, there's a huge article actually in the Wall Street Journal real estate section today talking about how school districts can drive real estate prices. I mean, when I was a kid, maybe I wasn't really paying attention, but I'm not sure that purchasing a house in the school district was my parents' driving decision on that. I'm quite confident it was based on what can we afford and where, or maybe it's located near work or what have you, but I certainly think that school district drives prices, and obviously Southern California is a inflated market, or most coasts actually, East and West Coast, are higher markets than so many places. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of communities here, and I think James would agree that with the appropriate agent, broker, and trying to figure out exactly what a family's goals are is really the key to getting them in a place that they want.
Right, right. When, James, again, when we talk about real estate, and I'm thrilled that we are talking about real estate. I was telling Jackie how thrilled I was that we're talking about real estate. It's something we want to talk about on a regular basis over time because there's nothing more local than real estate, is there?
No.
James,
we,
oh, if he, James, please.
So this is James. Yeah, I, the real estate.
The other James.
You know, the bit. The, oh, okay.
No, no, go for it.
So looking at kind of California real estate, we have seen our number of transactions down this year over last year, mainly because there's a lack of inventory. I don't know if we want to get into kind of market conditions, but, you know, Manhattan Beach, for example, the beginning of the year only had about 25 or 30 homes on the market in all of Manhattan Beach. Mm-hmm. We're now seeing about 60, maybe 70 homes on the market in Manhattan Beach, but that's still way below normal. We're also seeing a disparity between the real A-plus prime properties and maybe something with that's on a bad street or a bad floor plan, or those properties seem to be sitting on the market a little bit, whereas the A-plus prime properties are selling immediately and multiple offers way over asking price, and we're still seeing that. However, there is a lack of inventory, so we're not seeing as many transactions as last year.
Hmm. So when you talk about a healthy market, is that what does that indicate to you?
Well, I have an opinion that I don't want to see prices go up 30, 40, 50% too quickly again. Then we're going to be back to where we were, you know, 6 or 7 years ago.
Right.
So we want to see things slow down. Slow and steady wins the race. Hmm. When you see 20, 30, 40% appreciation, you're pricing a lot of people out of the market, so homes become unaffordable, and it's going to slow the market down, and eventually you're going to be back in that vicious cycle.
Right. So, Kyle, when we talk about that, that's a big subject. When homes become unaffordable, obviously there are some people that can always afford a home because it doesn't matter. They're transferring assets from 401ks or some other pool of resources, so they can always afford it if they want a home in Manhattan. But it's slow when prices are so high. What kind of market does that create?
Well, I mean, it's a seller's market, I guess, is what you're indicating. But to me, the trickle down effect of that, and certainly in my personal business, the rental market is on fire.
Yeah.
So what's happened is that because the prices have jumped, I'll just use an example. Let's say from $1.5 million to $2 million or something, you've priced X number of people out of that. They can't qualify over with David, and so, but they want to be here in schools and what have you.
Right. Yeah.
So they're looking for a rental home instead. In my case, I've done three of those deals just recently. Every single one of those deals, believe it or not, multiple offers on a rental home.
Right.
Multiple offers for rent prices. In some cases, the last one, they paid the entire full year's rent in advance. The rental market is probably one of the most amazing things that I've seen, to have to compete for a rental. I've had people from out of town, from Florida. I mean, they're having a hard time just adjusting to the fact they even need a realtor to go find a rental.
Yeah.
You know, in the South Bay, it's not a large apartment complex kind of a community, and there's a lot of properties that you just wouldn't be able to find as a consumer with some of the technological tools that we have. So I would say the trickle down effect is the rental market is very competitive.
I'll jump on that in two ways. This is David here. One, you can tell when a property is priced aggressively or priced right. I recently had three real estate agents call me to pre-qualify their clients. And without any of them giving me the address of the property at that point, it was just early, I could tell they were talking about the same property. They were talking. They gave me the price range. By the second one, I thought maybe coincidence. by the third one, I'm like, I know we're talking about the same property. So to go what Kyle said, I mean, it is hot. And then secondly, he was talking about technology to find a property. And I just want to say, you know, going back to the beginning of the conversation, with all of the variables and all of the things that go into a transaction, it's just finding the property. Let's say somebody finds it online, is such a small part of the overall transaction. I'm a loan officer. I've done this for 11 years, and I was involved in real estate before that. I've had my real estate license, but I'm not a real estate agent, and I don't handle those transactions as a real estate agent. I use a real estate agent. You know, I do 60 to 100 transactions a year, most of those purchase. I'm very involved, and I have that respect for that profession and that field. So just finding a property or thinking that you can handle all the bumps in the road yourself, that's a tough call. And, you know, Kyle mentioned this is the largest purchase and investment that most of us will make in our lifetimes. And to trust that on a one-off, maybe you've bought a couple of houses before, is a tough call to make.
Right, right. And, you know, James O'Callaghan.
Right now I'm in escrow. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm in escrow on a house, and just going through this process, I have an all-newfound respect for every agent. You know, I had bought a house back before the economy had taken the turn that it did, and it was a much easier process. My agent literally spent 8 hours yesterday getting estimates on repairs for this house and everything in between for the past month. So I just want to say that the process has gotten crazy and the agents have earned every penny of their commission.
It's a lifestyle. That's what we're learning. And we have a caller. I'm going to try to get them into the conversation real quick. Caller, last four digits, 2626. You're on the air. Hello.
That's James Sanders.
James Sanders. Oh, you're calling back in?
We must have lost him. Okay.
Yeah, I dropped out. I'm back
okay,
with you guys.
Great. All right, great, good, good. So we've had a good conversation. We've talked about sort of the lifestyle aspects of what it takes to be an agent. We've talked a little bit about the banking side of the process and how important it is to have a really professional, expert loan officer partner. James O'Callaghan, what other issues or what other things about real estate did you really want to highlight from the Chamber of Commerce's perspective?
Well, you know, a lot of times everybody assumes the Chamber is purely about business, and which, I mean, obviously is a major focus of ours. But it's about developing a great quality of life here in town, and that goes with helping to develop great real estate pricing, making sure that all of the amenities that the community are looking for can be supported by the tax base here, and that, you know, you won't see giant tax increases or assessments for certain projects. So, you know, a lot of what we do, we try to work closely with the community here to make sure that they're getting the services they need, they're having the businesses that they're looking for. You know, a lot of times when people move into a community, they look for convenience, they look for great schools. So we partner with both of those. We partner, obviously, with the business community to help drive competition and success here. But on top of that, you know, we work closely with the school district, and we're starting an entrepreneurial program now to help educate students on how to start their own business. If they want to stay in this area and, you know, grow from this point forward, how can they do that? So.
Right, right. That's critical. We had talked earlier about how, you know, second generation, third generation are finding it difficult to be able to afford to live in the South Bay. And yet if they start a business, perhaps they will be able to live and buy a home in the South Bay, and that's very, very important. I love the teaching of entrepreneurship. Also, David, I want people to get a sense that there is some place that they can go. When they listen to this show, I want them to have a sense that they have a place to go if they have questions about banking or about mortgages. Can you give some contact information, David, for people that want to connect with Bank of Manhattan?
Oh, sure. Like, actually, my phone number and email address, which is fine.
If,
is that
if you're that bold, go for it.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, 310-606-8028 is my direct line. And as James and Kyle were mentioning, that does roll into my cell phone. So that I'm reachable all the time on that. And I love to talk to people about their plans about buying a home. And I fully understand it's not just about how far you can push it to get into it, but maybe what a healthy, I'm a good listener, what a healthy price range is for you to buy your home or investment property. So I really enjoy that aspect of my job.
Right. That's very important. And James Sanders, can you give contact information for what you do? I know you turn off your phone when you take your wife out to dinner, and that's very, very good. You're an amazing husband, but what's your contact information?
Well, I can be reached directly at 310-802-2260, and my email address is james@eplahomes.com.
All right. And Kyle, what kind of contact information do you want to share?
Sure. I agree. 24/7 is just the way the business is. So direct phone contact for me is 310-658-3848. And an email address for me would be kyle@beachcitycastles.com.
Okay. Beach City Castles. All right. James, do you have any announcements for us from the chamber?
Absolutely. Actually, this conversation. Oh, sorry.
James O'Callaghan.
Sorry. I should go by Jim when we have another James on the show.
Okay, good.
Anyway, this week's conversation kind of plays into everything we have going on coming up. So next week we have our mixer at Bank of Manhattan. So we look forward to having everybody out there. RE/MAX is actually the sponsor of that event, and we'll be receiving great food from Salt Creek Grill and King Harbor Brewery will be out there as well. So we look forward to that event. And then on July 11th, we actually have our economic forum. And as you were mentioning, trying to keep that downtown feel, I think Kyle and James were talking a lot about that. We're actually partnering. We have brought in the cities of Seal Beach, Dana Point, and Coronado to actually kind of share a little bit of how they got to where they are and the vision for moving forward and how the city will, how their city will kind of come together and maintain its success and vibrancy. Yeah.
Okay. That's wonderful. And what a great conversation we've had. I think anyone that listens to this will get a very, very good overview of what it takes to sort of get into the market and what the market is like here. It's difficult, especially if you're coming from, you know, back east, the Midwest, you know, Plano, Texas, where Toyota is moving, is the seat of quite a number of Fortune 500s because Texas makes it makes it very attractive, and the quality of life in Plano is quite good. The weather's different, but the quality of life is quite good. thank you so much, James Sanders, for joining us today.
Glad I could join you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. And David Curry, thank you so much for joining us from Bank of Manhattan.
Thanks, Joe and Jackie. A real privilege. And is anybody else impressed, by the way, that Kyle has 6 kids? I want to say happy Father's Day on that. Well done.
I am.
We need to do that happy Father's Day to all fathers. James, how many kids do you have?
I have a boy and a girl.
Boy and a girl.
They're,
well, happy Father.
Six and 8 years old, so we're active.
And David, do you have kids?
I do. I have a 9-year-old boy just wrapping up 3rd grade.
9-year-old boy. And Kyle, can you do the names and ages in 20 seconds?
Wow. Kilby's 26. Stephen and Stratton are 25. Brooks and Ryan are twins and 21. And Reese is 20.
Awesome. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Well, happy Father's Day, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Happy Father's Day to you all. And the state of the you know, real estate in the South Bay is strong. We hope to do this again, Jim. we hope to do this again. Love doing it.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, James. Jim O'Callaghan, president of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, and thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
All right. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you next Friday for Manhattan Beach Chamber 360.